Thank you for joining us for Your Marketing Copilot, which is a production of ABCI. ABCI specializes in cost-effective marketing systems and campaigns in the aviation industry. I'm Paula Williams, a marketing consultant with ABCI and the instructor for ABCI's Marketing Masterclass, a course designed for business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs who would like to improve their marketing results. More information about the Marketing Masterclass is also available on our website, abci1.com. Welcome to this week's episode of Your Marketing Copilot. This week we have Bob Jones with us. You probably know Bob as Ask Bob. Bob Jones has been with ATP for 16 years. He is a product marketing specialist for ATP and a managing editor of AskBob.ero. Prior to joining ATP, Bob owned an FBO in Livermore, California with 141, 145, and 135 certificates. And we're really happy to have you, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Great. Well, you know, the reason that I asked you on is because you are one of the coolest bloggers that I know in the aviation industry. You've got a little cartoon that represents you, and you've got some really cool stuff out there. So how did you get started with the Ask Bob persona and the Ask Bob blog?
It's a couple of things that have come together over the years. Part of it was some changes at ATP. We've always been customer focused and want to stay in touch and communicate with the customers. Being, you know, the company goes back to 1973 when we introduced the microfiche line, and we went digital. Quite a few years ago in digital, but we were constantly mailing information to customers. We were sending out envelopes every 2 weeks to the customers, so we had a really good communication link with our customers, with customer people dedicated on the phone lines for inbound calls. So we felt pretty connected. But in 2006, we started developing, taking our Navigator, which up to that point was access software to read the pubs, and it was just really a software platform for finding the publications, searching them, things like that. We decided to expand it out to a full library management system, including online updates. And one of the issues that came up early as we were talking about online updates is, hey, we're not going to be mailing envelopes to a lot of our people. How do we communicate with them? We're going to have to find other communication systems. And we'd done newsletters and a few things, but we were looking around all the things that were happening with the internet, and that we decided that a blog might be the answer. So we developed the idea of coming out with a blog of allowing us to communicate what we were doing, what we were thinking, changes, allowing people to make comments back, and to use the internet to increase communication to customers and allow us to continue to touch customers that we weren't going to be able to touch by mail anymore. So that was the thought process behind starting the blog, to stay in contact with the customers. The name of the blog is actually kind of a takeoff of my longevity here at ATP. I've been involved in just a number of projects, a lot of project development products, a lot of joint ventures and different things that we've done. I've been involved on a lot of those different things, or redesigns or internal changes of the software I've been involved in. So a lot of times as a project got started, if there was a question, people would come and ask me if I had any basically corporate history on what we were doing or things we'd done in the past that were similar. And so it almost became a joke around ATP that, go ask Bob. And, most companies have that person there that's been there a long time and knows that there's an Ask Bob or an Ask John or an Ask Steve, at a lot of companies. And so as we were putting the blog together, we said, well, let's take that, use that name and move forward with that idea. And so that's where the initial name came from, and the initial, it was a WordPress blog initially, to continue to touching customers where we lost that link without the envelopes going out every 2 weeks.
Right. One of the things that I really like about that is the personality. You took something that was kind of a phenomenon inside the company, your longevity there and your kind of industrial voodoo is sometimes what they call it, that accumulated knowledge over the years. And you made that available to your customers, you know, so it became, you know, you kind of made the outsiders insiders, and, you know, made it really personal. Was that a conscious decision, or did that kind of just happen?
No, I think that was part of the decision making on setting up the blog, because working with the, you know, we've got a team of customer service people that handle the inbound calls and are constantly working with customers, and you know, they come to me a lot of times with questions: how come this product does this, or how does that work? And I found a lot of times the questions were being repeated. You know, the same question was coming from multiple customers. So we thought, you know, if we can start publishing this information, we had a little system internally where we would log information and the customer service people were able to look it up and find answers. But I said, you know, if we start publishing stuff and publishing these questions, then other people can, you know, can touch into that information.
Right, right.
And so we thought having that, if I could, you know, publish that voodoo or that memory, you know, publish it out there, then it would be available for everybody.
Right, and that would save you a lot of time from having to answer the same question over and over again.
Right. Right. And there's, you know, little things that, you know, it before this was published, there was a lot of fun stuff that happens inside a company, including one day I came to work and there was a whole row of plastic beads hanging on my door, you know. So, you know, on this persona thing of you know, having the corporate history and sharing of it. So it was, we had a lot of fun with it internally before we launched, and then the picking of the icon, which is not really a character to me. I think I got a little more hair than he does, but you know, there's similarities. So we had fun with that, and which I think is important as you move forward. These things, have a lot of fun with it, and hopefully the customers have fun with it too.
Right. So these plastic beads, they were like Mardi Gras beads or something like that, that they hung on your door?
They were full length. You know, it was like you'd put in you'd see in a bar, you'd see some, or, you know, you had your game room or something, you'd put in as kind of you know, you have to push them aside to walk through.
Oh, yeah, like the hippie curtains kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So it was, you know, that was a shock when I came in, but it was, you know, the rest of the marketing folks having fun with Bob.
Right.
So so I think a lot of that fun went into the idea of the launch of the blog, which, you know, has expanded, you know, past being a blog, but was all part of that initial launch of let's have some fun with this and you know, get some information out, but keep it light and fun also.
Right. You know, I think a lot of people, when they first start a blog, are so concerned with being professional. And, you know, I think it's really a bigger issue to be interesting than to be professional in a lot of ways. I think people go kind of overboard on the, you know, we need to make it really, I don't know what the word would be. We can't take any chances with having fun. We just have to give straight information in this newsy sort of didactic style. And that doesn't work nearly as well as being a human being, you know, where, you know, these crazy things happen in your office and you share them and, you know, you have this cartoon and you don't take it too seriously. You don't take yourself too seriously. And that makes it so much more appealing for people to read.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people, when they think about blogging, they think they're going to be publishing and it has this formal, you know, straitjacket, you know, that you know, I've got to write something important every time, and I've got to be, you know, or witty, or I've got a friend who does a wine blog, and it took him years to get started because he was afraid of sitting down and writing articles. And I said, don't write articles. I said, put a little notepad in your pocket, and when you go out to dinner and you have a glass of wine, make some notes. You know, just publish a sentence, publish a paragraph. Just discuss what you did last night or what you drank, you know, what wine you tasted or whatever. And that broke the ice, and he does a great job at it now. But he was afraid to get started because it was so formal. He was thinking, oh, I've got to, you know, I'm going to be now a publisher, and I've got to do all this stuff. And, you know, you don't need to. And I think the audience appreciates it a lot more when you're human and
oh, absolutely. Yeah, I know some of my favorite posts from you and from other bloggers are the ones where they're not even necessarily, you know, they don't go into a lot of depth about a particular topic. You know, it may not be the most informationally useful blog, but it's the one that shows their personality or that shows something that happened in their office or something like that. And those are the easiest ones to write, usually.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Which brings to mind my Twitter, my thoughts on Twitter. When I first heard about Twitter, it took me a few months to get on. It's like, you know, I've got a blog now. I mean, if people want to read me, I've got this blog that have the articles. What do I need this thing with this little short 144 characters for? You know, but you know, as I started using it and learning that tool, it's a great tool for these little instant little bursts of stuff. You know, like little things that happened and something where you're not going to write a paragraph on it, but hey, I just saw this, or I just read that article, or I got an email about this, and it's, you know, there's a lot of conversation that can go on that doesn't have to be a big formal, you know, 300 to 500, you know, character article.
So. Exactly, with footnotes and references and all that. So.
Exactly.
Right. There's actually several bloggers at ATP. It sounds like you were probably the first. Did you get other people involved in that, or how did that kind of evolve into a team effort?
Yeah, it was even from the beginning, because it was launched by the marketing department. I was the initial one writing articles, but the first couple articles I put together. But as we started working at it with the launch of the new software and different things and the internet updates and the different messages, there was other people here that had messages, so I would write that message initially. And then as we expanded, we moved from the blog to the current site, which is a full community site and has, you know, we've got over 800 members now. So different employees became members of the site and were able to publish. So the change after we did the blog for a year and then we expanded out to the current community design site, when we saw that there was a lot of other things we could offer, it allowed then other people to come in as experts and publishers. So there's multiple people here at ATP. We have a number of IAs on staff. We have a number of people in the marketing department. We've got some of the people in the sales department now that blog about some of the experiences and some of the things they've done with customers and helping them solve their tech pub needs. So the platform was one change that allowed us to bring in more voices, and then to keep the site relevant and interesting. As managing editor of the site, that's one of my responsibilities is to try to continue to have content. So I'm always out, you know, beating the bushes and talking to people and saying, hey, that's a great idea. Why don't you go ahead and post it and getting more involvement so that there's more voices than just mine.
Right. Yeah, conversation is always much more interesting than a monologue.
Right, right. And you know, they each have different experiences and different ways of writing, so it makes it a lot more interesting to the reader to see and hear from all the other different people and the other voices.
So as a managing editor, how do you coordinate all that content to make sure that, you know, there's kind of a balance of views or, you know, that nobody's duplicating content or do you have like a monthly brainstorming or, you know, what's your process for coming up with content and deciding who's going to cover what?
Yeah, most of it's on just an ongoing basis as things come up just in day-to-day. I monitor a lot of different news feeds and sources to look for information. And then as we have internal meetings and discussions on projects or product releases and that, Ask Bob is always one of the items on the agenda is you know, does it fit into Ask Bob? Where should Ask Bob be used to cover this information? And so it's an integral part of everything we do in marketing now.
That's great. I know a lot of companies feel like, you know, blogging is just kind of this tacked on extra piece, you know, in addition to everything else that they're doing. And in a lot of cases, it ends up being a little disjointed from their other marketing efforts. But it sounds to me like you've really integrated that into everything else that you do. Let me go back to, you know, you used to send an envelope to your customers every week. Do you ever use mail now, and how does that integrate with the blog?
We still do. We still do mail. You know, a large portion of our customers still get deliveries from us for the content. They don't all use the automatic download through the internet that we're
right.
At least not everybody's on that. So we have that, but we also do promotional mailings, both electronically through email and actually printed materials where we'll mail out cards or information. We're constantly acquiring licenses from new manufacturers or expanding the product line, and so we'll do you know, postage mailing. We also have we have an RSS feed coming off of the AskBob site that we have integrated into our software, so that when you open the software, there's a little news feed on the very front page that's actually that's an RSS feed. It's done automatically, comes right out of AskBob, so that we can integrate the AskBob site with our users as they're opening and using the software on a daily basis. They see
right.
The news feed. So we've tried to make it easy to connect, I guess would be one way of saying it, through using email, you know, print material and the online.
Right. For people who may not know or may not be familiar with the term, an RSS feed is usually automatic with blogging software. Is that correct? It usually.
Right. Yeah.
And
it's
that
electronic.
Right. That's just.
It comes right out of the software. So, you know, we use WordPress or whatever you're using for your blog software. Usually there's an electronic feed that has a URL you can subscribe to, that anytime anything's posted on the blog, it gets added as a line item on this feed. And then there's software that you can have for your desktop or that will, you can subscribe to and read these things. And so we used that software. We actually embedded that into our Navigator software, so it just shows us a news feed on the front page.
That's great. Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, don't realize how versatile that RSS feed is, because, you know, you could use it as an iPhone app, or you could use it as, you know, integrated into your software. You can do a lot of things with that will keep that content or kind of get more mileage out of that content that you're writing.
Right, right. And there's systems. We use a system through Google called FeedBurner mm-hmm. that takes the RSS feed and turns it into an email feed. So you can go to our homepage and sign up. It says, send me an email every day of everything that's been posted. And that's actually using all this magic in the background that's been developed around the blogging software.
Yeah, and they make it really easy. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to get all this done, which is really helpful to people like me.
Yeah.
Right.
And I do that to find content, as I subscribe to a number of feeds myself, so that I can see what's being published from, you know, a lot of different trade organizations and the FAA. And so I have a number of feeds coming into me so that I can see things that come out that might be of interest to the maintenance interest. You know, maintenance industry is our focus. So things that are coming out around aircraft maintenance, so that I can then contact that person and see if we can use the material or get it published. Or we've contacted quite a few, and now they write regularly for AskBob, and it you know, provides gets the customers this information at a central place.
Right. Yeah, those news feeds and alerts are great for, you know, people who have a hard time coming up with an idea. You know, if you check your news feeds or your alerts in the morning, then you kind of have an idea of what people are talking about in the industry. And then, you know, you could write an article that's related, given your emphasis on maintenance, you know, how that is, you know, how that affects the current goings on or a current news item. And,
right. Yeah. Let's just find out what's a hot topic, what's of interest, which again is Twitter is a super source for that. I didn't understand Twitter when it first came out. It didn't make sense. Thinking we got the blog. If people want to read me, they come in and we've got this. So I signed up for Twitter, and then just started following people. And one of the first people was the queen of aviation twittering, with Benet.
Benet Wilson, right?
Yeah, she's one of the first people I signed up to watch, because she publishes great, great information on Twitter. You know, it really lets you know what's going on with their publication, their magazine, and news, and all the things out there. And then I went and found out who watched her. I looked at the list of who her followers were. So I followed all the people that were following her. And so just in a few days, I built up a list of people I was following, and it became just a terrific source of information. I couldn't believe the amount of information. Things would pop up on Twitter, you know, hours or days before it would hit some other news wires and stuff. And it was, you know, just a terrific source of information.
Right. And then it's also a two-way street because, you know, a lot of folks in aviation are very open to, you know, that two-way communication. If, you know, Bene Wilson of Aviation Week is who we're talking about. And she's, you know, all over the social media. But, you know, you send her a question on Twitter and she'll often reply to you within seconds. I think she just lives on that that platform. And, you know, Bob, I know you do as well. So, you know, if you tweet about something and then I ask you a question about it, then you can get back to me. And it makes it a whole different experience than, you know, like reading an article in the newspaper and, you know, saying, well, that's nice, but, you know, not really interacting with it in a way that's really helpful to you. Yeah.
And it allows you to monitor, too, people. If people are talking about your brand or talking about your mm-hmm. business or talking about a segment of your business where maybe you want to interject and get involved.
Right.
You monitor, you know, a lot of discussions that are happening out there in cyberspace.
Mm-hmm.
And each tool has its own features. And they're optimized. Last week I was down at Las Vegas with the AMT Skills Competition, which was a super event. We had like 375 maintenance technicians down there competing, and phone that's fairly capable, one of the Evos that has a lot of functions, and I was able to, through our Facebook page, I was able to, you know, constantly put out updates and take photos with the phone and post them on Facebook, because Facebook had a good Evo app, so I could easily just post and keep up with what was going on there and let everybody know about that, and you know, Twitter is another one that is really mobile enabled. So that you know, you're not tied down to, I'm not tied down to the blog or other things as ways of putting out information.
Right.
Involved.
Yeah, you know, one of the other interviews that we've talked with Jason Wolf of NBAA, one of the things that he said was really surprising to him was that people in aviation tend to be hot or cold about social media. You know, there's not much lukewarm. You know, people either love it or they really can't stand it. Have you run into that sort of phenomenon, or has your experience been different?
Yeah, no, I would say it's similar. And it's not just social media. It's just sometimes even just the use of technology especially in the maintenance community, we find, you know, folks are really focused on their job and what they're working on, and some find it of value and embrace it. The other group find it maybe a distraction or just haven't embraced it, and so they just totally don't use it. So I've seen, yeah, it's either an on or off type thing. You know, they're involved. They don't find people that do it a little bit. they're there and involved in it, or it's an area they haven't gotten to yet.
Right. So do you try to get people involved in social media, or, you know, are you kind of an evangelist for that, or do you kind of take people as they are and accommodate them some other way if they're just not going to play in the social media space?
Well, we try to be broad so we can reach everybody. We don't want to isolate someone because they're not involved in social media. So we still do the email and the physical mail and stuffing of our envelopes with information. So, but you know, through, I mentioned earlier, the news feed and our software, there's ways that they might be involved in social media. They may not even realize that we're using some of that those items to reach them. But we try to stay broad because there is a large group of folks that just haven't moved over to do that. I think they will at some point in time. You know, Facebook is continuing, you know, growing by leaps and bounds, and they're making changes to the software, and so I think people will get involved in those type of things as it moves forward.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that content that they're viewing in some other source was actually developed in social media, or a lot of times you may publish something on your blog and then also send it in a printed newsletter. So there are ways of leveraging that work so you're not wasting or duplicating effort. And
we were having a discussion yesterday on printed newsletters and some directions we might want to go and talk about the content. You know, one of the hard things on publishing newsletters is coming up with content. But if you're involved in social media and you're publishing there, and like I said, it doesn't have to be full articles. It just could be little bits of information. But there's a lot of content there then that's developed that could be used in other media. And there's a few magazines that we were looking at some magazines that if you actually start looking at what's in the magazine, it's totally duplicative of what was on their website and through social media, and it's just different ways of getting the message out, and there are so many different ways. I think you need to be broad to try to engage the customers wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important is to continue to try to reach out to the customer. Don't isolate them by going to just like one system. And it doesn't take that much time. Because of the when I did the blog, it only took a very short amount of time each day. It wasn't even a daily thing. Now with Twitter and Facebook and that, I do spend a little time each day on each one. But it's so there is a time involvement, but it's not a huge involvement.
Right. Yeah, we found that, the time really goes into creating quality content. And then, the lion's share of the time anyway. And then it's just a tiny incremental amount for each additional platform that you publish to. So, if you write a really great blog article, then, it's just another 5 minutes to repurpose it for Facebook and another, minute or two to repurpose it for LinkedIn or something like that. It sounds like you've got kind of the same strategy.
Right. Yeah. And I use some tools that allow me to take a single post and put it out on, LinkedIn. Hootsuite is one tool I use, for example, where you can go to Twitter, you can go to Facebook, you can write one piece of content, one piece of news or one little bit of information and send it out to all the different places.
Right.
You can use tools that help automate that.
Great.
I think it's just to get in there and communicate and take advantage of these tools to communicate. Because if you're not using the tools, then what you're doing is you are missing people. We talked about trying to be broad to encompass everybody. If you're not getting involved in social media, now there's a group of your customers or potential customers maybe you're not reaching.
So right.
It's important from that standpoint.
So, customers aren't going to adapt to the way you want to do business, so you kind of have to adapt to the way they want to do business, whether that's
right.
Online or offline. If you cover both bases and you're covering everyone,
it's a learning thing. I mean, like I said, with Twitter, when I didn't understand the way I learned it was just getting in and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with Facebook. I understood Facebook as a person and having my own account there, but trying to understand how to use it as a business. And they've made some changes. They've made some just changes in the last 2 weeks that increase the way it can be used as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And as a business tool.
So right.
It's good that way.
So I'd say, probably the thing that I've learned from you, Bob, is, that curiosity and that personality and that, not being afraid to just jump in. And, the aviation community is very supportive and that. And, one of the things that I did was for Your Marketing Copilot, I created a cartoon, was inspired by Ask Bob. So it's a little caricature and things. So.
Thank you. It is. The aviation community is a great community. I've been involved with it for years. I was involved back in scouting. There's an aviation group, an aviation explorers group, and I was involved in aviation back then. My dad was a pilot and mechanic, and so once you get into the community, it's just a great community, and everybody's really supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, don't be afraid to get started. You know, everybody's a number of people come up and say that they're glad to see what we're doing and you know, trying to put this information out that it's of benefit. And you know, I just love doing it and love being involved and trying to help where we can. And it you know, and I appreciate ATP's support in funding the whole project and allowing us to expand it past just a newsletter or a service to our customers and actually bring in, you know, expand it out and bring in a lot of other information to see what would be of value to the maintenance community and to add value to that community.
Right. Well, let's wrap up on that note. And yeah, we just really appreciate you being one of the great personalities in aviation marketing and aviation social media in general. It's great talking with you, Bob.
Great. I appreciate the chance to discuss it. Thank you.
Your Marketing Co-Pilot is a production of Aviation Business Consultants International. Please visit our blog for more great discussions on marketing at www.abci1.com. You can read my opinions on marketing and aviation topics on the Forbes Business Aviation blog, Wheels Up, at blogs.forbes.com/wheelsup. You can also find Aviation Business Consultants on Facebook and Twitter. We have a free book titled Aviation Marketing: Cost-Effective Strategies and Tools, which is available at www.abci1.com/freebook. Thank you for joining us for the Marketing Copilot. If you have any questions or comments on today's show or any suggestions for future shows, please feel free to leave them on our blog or email Paula at abci1.com.